Hey, well, what's up, everybody? Thank you guys for tuning in to Engaging Walk. My name is Drake, and today we're going to be talking about the common problems that you're going to encounter, or maybe not you, but that people encounter in marriage. And if this is your first time tuning in, thank you guys for tuning in. This is Engaging Walk. My wife and I recently had a baby. Normally, we're on the podcast together, but things have been really stressful and new. And there's so many different things going on, but we are keeping the podcast going and coming out with new and more episodes. So definitely going to try to take advantage of this paternity leave that I've got going on. And we're going to come out with as much episodes as we can and try to get this conversation moving along. And, you know, we are so excited to see lots of different people listening to Engaging Walk right now. We got tons of new people listening, and we thank you guys if you guys are sharing this content with people that you know that may need, you know, to have these discussions or talk about these topics that we go over in Engaging Walk, which is, you know, this is a podcast that's driven towards relationships, marriage, dating, love. And then now my wife and I are going to be very happy to share our experiences as new parents and talking about parenthood and raising children. Okay, so without further ado, we're going to get into this topic about common problems that occur in marriage. So I like to browse on, there's a Facebook group called Marriage Life Uncensored, and it is filled with just like the most incredible tea and just like crazy stuff that happens in marriage. And I think that this is not happening in like most marriages, but it's happening in enough marriages that, you know, I at least have developed like a sort of top 10 list of things that I've seen in this Facebook group of people complaining about, or things that are happening in their marriage that are either leading to divorce or are leading to separation, or at least just leading to married people reaching out to other married people in the Facebook group for help. And a lot of them, I think, stem from a sort of issue in terms of like how we categorize marriage and how we think about what a marriage is. So I'm not going to go over the top 10, but I am going to go over like, let's say like the top 3. So the first one is this idea that of who brings what to the table. For example, the man brings home the money, the wife plans the budget, the wife does the cooking and cleaning. That sort of idea of like who brings what to the table, right? Now, and on some marriages, people have this idea of 50-50, that the man brings his 50, that the woman brings her 50, and they have issues when one or the other or both of them aren't bringing their 50% to the marriage. And this can just be really easily replaced with a number that you're both not supposed to bring 50-50. You're both supposed to bring 100. You're both supposed to bring your whole self to the marriage in order for it to work, in order for it to survive. Because this manifests itself in lots of different ways. And the number one is finance. Now, I talk about this like with a lot of people that I've seen on there. I don't talk to the people, but I talk with my wife about it and other married people that I know. That this idea of 50-50 in finance like makes no sense when you're married. It makes sense if you have a roommate or if you live with your brother, or if you share finance with your brother or your sister or other family members or close friends, but it doesn't make sense when you're talking about your spouse, and I'll explain why. If my spouse works, and let's say my wife works, and she works, my wife doesn't really work that often in terms of like, you know, bringing home money. She works all the time. She just works at home, you know, working with the baby, working with the house, you know, working on our plans, on our future, etc. she works a lot. But in terms of like going out into the market and bringing home and working and bringing home cash, she doesn't really do that often. She does it sometimes. She used to do it a lot more, but life got difficult. Life got, you know, crazy for us with, you know, pregnancy and then a baby, right? So if she does bring home something, let's say she's like, oh yeah, I did some teaching this week. I brought home like $500. Okay, that's great. That's an extra $500. On the other hand, I work full time. Some, you know, one of us has to. And if my wife comes home with $500 for the month and I come home with, let's say, $8,000 for the month, am I entitled to the $8,000 and she's only entitled to the $500? Am I like, hey, babe, like, you know, you have to go half on the rent. The rent is, let's say, $2,000. So you're going to need to make an extra $500 and, you know, cover your half of the rent. That when it sounds like that, when you hear it like that, it doesn't sound right, right? Like, we both live under the same roof. You know, she contributes to the marriage in her own way, and then I contribute in my own way. We need monetary resources in order to, you know, have savings accounts, eat, you know, have our shelter, save for the future, buy things for our child, you know, go on vacation, put money away, doing our investments, all that kind of stuff, right? So this, obviously this is going to look a little bit differently if, let's say, both husband and wife work full time, but in actuality, it really shouldn't change the mindset that what I earn is for the household, for the family, and what my wife earns is also for the household and for the family. And once we start separating it into I earned X amount and you earned, you know, X amount, then we're going down a path of like different, you know, categories of like who earned what, and it goes to different things. Whereas I think that the only way that this really works, that a marriage really works in terms of like finance, is if you just all pool all of your resources together and equally decide, you know, what the priorities are, what's the budget, how many vacations you can take a year, how much the budget is for the vacation, how much the budget is for, you know, for your housing, for, you know, your groceries, for odds and ends and things like that, and then how you as a family spend your family's money. There's not really like my money or your money anymore once you're married. And what I see on that Facebook group is a lot of people have issues understanding that, and so much of their concept and like their problems come from that concept of like, I brought my 50% to the table and she's not bringing her 50%, and therefore, you know, she's spending way too much money on this. Like, nothing in terms of like finances should be hidden. Nothing in terms of finances should be, you know, tucked away. And like, well, I made an extra $2,000 this month, so therefore I get to use what I want on that $2,000. No, the $2,000 goes towards the family fund. And if it's, you know, if it's extra, then, you know, that just means that you both get to decide what to do with that extra money, you know, whether it be invest it or, you know, use it for a nice vacation. Any one of those things are a great way to use those extra funds. But the extra funds don't become just yours because you are the one that earned the extra funds. There's no, again, there should not be a mine and a yours in terms of like marital finances. The money that's brought into the family is, you know, is part of the family. And yeah, that's really the only way that's going to work. I see so many people in that Facebook group that, you know, have these ridiculous problems that could just easily be avoided if they handled finances this way in the marriage. And I think likewise, this issue goes for chores. This idea of like, well, you know, there was one that I saw that was really interesting and really just highlights this idea of like what happened or like what can go wrong in terms of like your point of view or your perspective when you're thinking about things as mine and yours as opposed to ours in the marriage. Now, there was a guy that was complaining about how, you know, he's like, hey, you know, we have dogs, you know, and we have children, and my wife is, you know, pretty much like a stay-at-home mom. And when I'm at home, we divide up the chores so that I do X amount of chores and she does X amount of chores, right? And then when I'm gone, like she takes care of the whole, you know, pretty much everything because he's gone for work. He's gone for like, let's say he was talking about how he travels for work. Like he goes out on the road for like 5 days at a time or a week at a time and he comes back. And he says he feels like that his wife was like, hey, you know, can you do these amount of chores like while you're back? Because I was really struggling while you're gone and I need you to like step up and give me some time so that I can recover during the time that you were gone. And his whole issue with it was that, well, I take care of the chores while I'm gone, while I'm home, and she takes care of her ends of the chores while I'm gone. But there's no my end anymore because I'm gone, if that makes sense. So that when I come home, I shouldn't have to like, you know, take over more because I just got home from working. And then two, like I wasn't home to like contribute to the mess to begin with. So this is such a limited, and I think just like if this guy probably like listened to himself talk about this issue out loud, like if he talked to his friend about it first before going on Facebook, like hopefully his friend would have like smacked some sense into him and been like, hey, bro, you know, it's not just you. There's like children and then the dogs. And then, of course, like your wife is going to be, you know, tired. One, because between, you know, just between men and women, there's certain things that a man can get done around the house that a woman can't get done around the house. Or at the very least, she's going to have like more difficulty doing. You know, for example, like in my house, our vacuum cleaner is pretty heavy. So moving it up and down the stairs is very difficult for my wife. Likewise for getting water. Like if we go, you know, we get like 5 gallon jugs of water and, you know, we get them like refilled probably like once every other week, maybe once every 3 weeks or so. And that's a really difficult task for her to do, but it's not that difficult for me. So if I was gone for like 2 weeks and she had to go get her own water, like, of course she'd be like, oh, that was like really exhausting. Or vacuuming the upstairs was really exhausting because I had to, you know, carry the heavy vacuum up and down the stairs to do it. And, but then just also you need to put into the, take into account that, you know, she's taking care of the dogs, that she's taking care of the children. And of course she's going to need a break when she comes back. And this guy pretending that like being away on a business trip for 5 days is as, how do I put it? Like as exhausting as, you know, taking care of like a household for 5 days is just, you know, it's not realistic. And it shows a lack of respect and it shows a lack of consideration for the wife. But this whole mentality is the actual issue. It's not the fact that he is like being so nitpicky about like, oh, I did this chore while you were gone and, you know, itemizing and taking inventory of all of the chores. Like once you start doing that, you're already wrong. Again, it's the same. It has to be viewed the same way as household finance, that there's household chores that need to be done, whether they be laundry, dishes, cooking, cleaning, taking care of the child, taking care of the dog, you know, all these things that your life, that you and your spouse agreed to and are actually like the blessings of your life. Once you start viewing them as chores, of course they're chores, but once you start viewing them as like, how do I put it? Once you start viewing them as like a negative thing that like zaps your energy and is just like, it's it's kind of crazy because like they are those things, like they are draining and they are, you know, time consuming, but once you start viewing them negatively as opposed to positively, that like I get to take care of my family, I get to take care of the dishes, and I get to have this wonderful home with my wife and our children and our dogs, and we get to live this life together. And of course, I'm going to take ownership and take pride in the fact that I have to, you know, do the dishes, do the laundry, you know, go get the 5-gallon jugs of water, go get the groceries and bring them in. I get to do those things. Is it exhausting? Yes, of course. You know, but what else are you going to do? Like sit on your phone all day and, you know, just not contribute? You know, having that business trip, of course, it's going to be tiring because you're going out and you're traveling, and you know, sometimes the business meetings, I'm sure, can be, you know, pretty stressful, but it's not as draining as taking care of all the household chores by yourself. So that shift in mentality is what's going to be really important. And so in those two areas, finance and household chores, you're really going to find that a shift in mentality of a we and an us, as opposed to 50-50 or like who brings what to the table, is really going to make your household run more smoothly and eliminate or at least mitigate many of those problems. All right. Well, thank you guys so much for tuning in. That's all I got for you guys today. Hope you guys enjoyed the content. If you did, give me a like, a subscribe, and a comment on some things that are really big hurdles in your marriage, or things that you've encountered or heard about that are common struggles in marriage. So hopefully you guys can also share this content with people that you think might need to hear it or people that would enjoy it. And we'll see you guys next time here at Engaging Walk. Thanks you guys so much for tuning in, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.